Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a conversation with the 38th governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We met up with him for an exclusive visit to the VA in West LA, where he donated 25 tiny homes to help house some of the unhoused veterans who were previously living out on the streets. He worked with an organization called Village for Vets, a nonprofit that sets up and builds these homes there and has a lease to do this sort of thing. If you remember, a few months back, we were at the same VA property with Dennis McDonough, the secretary of the VA. There were a whole lot of vets living outside what they call Veterans Row on the street, no security, no bathrooms. It was a mess. There had been murders there. It was unsafe. It was unsanitary. And we pressed him on how this could happen and why can't we move some of these people inside? Well, that started to happen shortly after that. They cleared out Veterans Row. They set up tents on the inside, but the goal was to get more of these tiny homes so they weren't just living in tents. The tiny homes have air conditioning and heaters. They have locks. While inside the property, they also have bathrooms and showers and food and security. All of those things are key. Arnold Schwarzenegger saw this was happening. He visited the VA on Veterans Day. He said, "How could I help?" He donated $250,000 to this organization, Village for Vets. But he said, "You got to get this done by Christmas." And it actually happened, which doesn't usually happen when it comes to the government. They got it done. And he went back to visit 2 days before Christmas. He called it the greatest Christmas gift. And so we walked around with him, met some of the vets with him. He invited us to be the sort of exclusive reporter for this. And then we sat down for an extensive interview where we talked about veterans issues, but we also talked about other things happening in California, including COVID and California politics, redistricting. We talked about Governor Newsom, what he thought of the recall. We talked about crime, which, of course, has been surging and is on top of so many people's minds. And we talked about Christmas at the Schwarzenegger household, one of the most famous families in America. And we talked about Whiskey and Lulu, of course, his pet donkey and miniature horse, who have gone viral in the last year. So here is our full unedited conversation, includes some content that we were not able to include in the TV version of this. A heads up, at the beginning of this, my mic was having a bit of an issue. We were in pouring rain. We had just come out of it. So my mic issue gets fixed, you know, about a minute and a half into it. So my audio is a little off at the beginning, but you can hear what I'm saying and it'll all work out in the end. Thank you so much for listening. Here is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Governor Schwarzenegger, welcome back to The Issue Is. Great to see you.
Great to be back. The last time I was here, I said, "I'll be back." Remember that?
I did, yes. And we're here on this rainy day, checking out the tiny homes that you made possible. When you see that, and see that a vet that was on the street is now living in a home thanks to you, what goes through your mind?
I'm extremely excited, and I'm excited that they have a home. I'm excited that it is a rainy day today because it proves the point that they're going through not just sunshine and wonderful weather, but they go through cold weather in the winter, rainy days, where all of a sudden that they're lying out there day and night in the rain, with some tents that leak and stuff like that. So now they have a dry home where they can really sleep and really rest and feel good. And so it was great to do all that. It's a great Christmas gift to our veterans that have fought in the history of this country to make this the greatest country in the world.
And when you look into their eyes and you see the gratitude, how does that make
you feel on this Christmas week?
Well, you know, I always like to see the results. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to make a plan. It's another thing to go and let people execute it. But to then actually see it. Because to me, the important thing was when on Veterans Day, I asked them, I said, "Let's build more homes here." And they said, "Okay, you want to go and donate some money for that?" And I said, "Absolutely, I'm in." But I said, "I'm only in if the homes are here before Christmas." Mm. See, because for 20 years, people talk about homelessness.
Right.
But we don't see the action really, what we expect. Mm-hmm. And so the idea was to just show that it can be done, and they did it. So there was no one in the way. We worked, like I said to you earlier, we worked with the federal government, we worked with the state, we worked with the city, we worked with the locals, we worked with the Veterans Administration, we worked with everyone, and everyone came together. No one said, no, you can't do that. We came together and we did it. And the day it's here, the homes are here, they've moved in there. It's fantastic. It makes me feel so good.
What do you think is the lesson that everybody else can learn when it comes to homelessness? Because this problem, as you mentioned, has been around for so long. It's so complicated. And there are so many areas where you don't see action. I mean, I remember I lived near here and seeing those people on the streets for years. And then all of a sudden, boom, in a few months, now this is all here. What can we learn on the bigger homelessness issue?
Well, it's the wrong time now to be negative. So I don't want to attack the city officials, and I don't want to attack the state and all those people that have dragged their ass for too long. So I don't want to attack them, okay? Right. I think that the key thing here is that they all worked with us and came together and said, let's do it. Yeah. So I think that everyone is trying their best, and it's just that sometimes people just don't know how to execute something. So to me, the important thing was to set a date and say, this is when it has to be up. This is when the people have to move in. And that was the important thing. And you know, and I walked around today, and it just makes you feel so good when they look you in the eye and they say, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this home. I now have a home. And it makes me feel good because it's a great Christmas gift. And it's, a great Christmas gift for them. But it's a great Christmas gift for me because it makes me feel good that I was able to do something for these very, very special people, right, the veterans, that have served this country so well, and that I could do something for this country. And as you know, we talked about this many times in the past, that I'm into giving back, you know, because I've made and had this great success only because of America. If it is in bodybuilding, if it is in business, if it is in show business, in movies, in politics, and whatever I tackled, I achieved because of America. So to me, it's always great to give something back. It doesn't matter if there is a shortage of masks and you donate $1 million for masks to get immediately masks to all the hospitals in Los Angeles.
Right.
Or if it is, giving out toys at the Hollenbeck Youth Center for people that really can't afford toys for their kids. Or if it is handing out turkeys on Thanksgiving, or after school programs and all of this kind of stuff. It makes me feel good that they continuously can give something back to this country that means everything to me.
Well, and you bring up masks. Part of the reason this all is done this way is because of the coronavirus. We see Omicron cases spiking. We know you've gone viral for your push for people to get vaccinated. What do you make of this moment and the fact that there still are millions of people who are unvaccinated?
Well, it's a very complicated issue. You know, there's just some people that don't believe in vaccination, and we just have to do everything we can to convince them that this is the right direction to go. I don't think that villainizing them is the right way to go. I think the right way to go is to just keep explaining to them from every angle, and one of the angles will work and it will be a breakthrough. And maybe someone in their family has died because they weren't vaccinated, and then wakes up everybody and says, okay, I think we all should get vaccinated, and the whole family then goes and gets vaccinated. We've seen those kind of stories. And the more we see it exposed, the news that the people that are the most vulnerable and the people that are passing away because of corona are usually people that are not vaccinated. So I think this is a very clear message that vaccination is great. And of course, the government has made some real mistakes. The scientists and the experts have made mistakes because they tell us a story as if it is a factual story, and then they go and they have to pull it back and say, no, it's actually this way. And so there's this back and forth where people don't feel really secure, and they feel like, do they really know what they're talking about and all this stuff. So it's very complicated, but we have to make, no matter how complicated it is, yeah, issues are very complicated. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's a homeless issue, if it is the vaccination issue, the corona issue, if it is the immigration issue, if it is the debt that we are accumulating in this country. These are all very complicated issues, but it doesn't mean that we cannot tackle it. I think that this country is the best country in the world, and I think that if we get together, just like we did with this homeless situation here, we all got together and we tackled the problem, and we made a little bit of an impact.
Right.
There's so many things still to be solved. As you remember, there's still 68,000 homeless in this city alone, and over 100,000 statewide. So I think that we have to just keep going and bringing everyone together, not making it a political issue, but making it a people's issue. This is a people's issue. they need help. And I think it helps the neighbors, it helps the rest of Los Angeles if you go and take these people off the streets and find a home for them.
Yeah, and on in terms of the people that are vulnerable to coronavirus, it's unvaccinated, it's also people that are obese. And you have worked more than just about anybody in the country in terms of getting people to be more fit. Do you think that we need to have more of a conversation in this country about fitness, in addition to getting vaccinated and wearing masks and everything else, to try to put people in a better position?
You know, I think that you are hitting a very important issue here, because I think that people should always remember, before you go to the government and say we want to have health care, free health care, mm-hmm. I cannot pay for this enormous expenses of health care. They should also think about what can they do to take care of their health. Mm-hmm. Because healthcare, what they say call healthcare, is really sick care. Mm-hmm. It's not healthcare, it's sick care. This is already when there's a problem existing. And I think the best thing is to do preventive medicine, to go and to live well, to eat well, to not stuff yourself. And may I remind you, obesity sometimes is a sickness, okay? So it does not mean that these people just stuff themselves and they're just getting fat, right, and they're lazy or anything like that. There is a real problem there out there with obesity. But I think the key thing is to take care of yourself, to train every day and to eat well and all this. Take care of yourself. This should be the first health care. And then you can go and look for other means to go and make sure that you stay healthy and that you get the right treatments when you are sick.
Also in the news this week, we had this California Redistricting Commission voting unanimously to redraw the lines. A lot of people may not know this is because of you. Redistricting is because of you. Open primaries is because of you. Really dramatically changing politics in California and potentially being a national model as well. What do you make of a unanimous result? Democrats, Republicans, Independents, all coming together on this.
Well, as you can see, I have a big smile on my face, right? I'm ecstatic about it. And this is one of those issues when you talked about complex issues, complicated issues. It's a very complicated issue, this redistricting, and to reform it. It's a system that has been in place, this gerrymandering, has been in place for over 200 years. Mm-hmm. And so people kind of don't understand it. I saw right away when I was governor that there was something off, that people couldn't vote for a certain thing that was really good because they felt like when they go back to their districts that they would not get reelected. And so I said, what is going on here? When something is a good idea and they go back to their districts and they maybe get, you know, kind of voted out. And so when I looked into it more and more, I realized that it was that the politicians drew the district lines in such a way. People didn't even know it, but they drew it in such a way that they fixed the system, mm-hmm. that you couldn't get any politician out. It was like a job safety kind of a thing, like let's hold on to my job rather than let's do what is the best for the people. And so we fixed it. We created the open primaries. We created a independent redistricting commission with five Democrats, five Republicans, and four Independents. Mm-hmm. And they did a fantastic job the first time around already 10 years ago. And they now did another fantastic job. It was amazing that you think about that five Republicans, five Democrats, and four Independents unanimously voted for those district lines that they drew. That is unheard of. Mm-hmm. With all the arguing and the fighting that's going on nationwide and statewide between the parties, it just shows you that it can be done. And so California is a perfect example. We have the most competitive races in California because of the great lines, the district lines that were drawn by this independent commission. So I'm ecstatic about it, and I want to congratulate them and say thank you for the great work that you've done.
Yeah, and now there's going to be all these competitive elections and also next year an election for California governor. What was your big takeaway from the recall last year, and what do you sort of look forward to with the 2022 race?
Well, to me, the big takeaway was that people couldn't find a better candidate than Newsom was, so that's why he won. And that's why he was not recalled. It's very simple. I think that to me, it makes no difference if a Democrat wins or if a Republican wins. What is important to me is do the people's work. Don't do the party's work, do the people's work. That is the most important thing, because you're swearing and you say your oath that you serve the people, not your party. Mm-hmm. And so that's to me the most important thing.
Do you think Newsom's doing the people's work?
I think that I'm not you know, kind of agreeing with everything that he does.
Right.
I think Behe has been very good, and that unless someone better comes along, he's you know, the man that is running the state.
Right. A big issue is the budget, right? When you were in there, you had this sort of up and down process. We were with Jerry Brown last week. He talked about the fact that you had $60 billion deficit at one point. He thinks that California is headed for something similar in the years ahead. Where do you see our budget right now with this massive surplus? How should we be spending that money?
Well, it's, again, a very complex issue.
Right.
You know, so I think that the current system that we have in place, we need a minimum of $80 to $100 billion in a surplus, a rainy day fund. Mm. And they don't have that yet. And so he's absolutely right, Governor Brown, when he says that we could be heading in that same direction. You know, I remember that just because the recession came in, we all of a sudden had a $20 billion deficit. Mm. And then, you know, you try to fix it as much as you could, but then the second year is the recession. So you have another $20 billion deficit. And then the third year comes, then you have another $20 billion deficit, and it keeps going on. We cannot print more money in California. Mm. It's not like the federal government does. So we cannot also go and create debt. We have to balance the books. So the key thing is, under the current system, to have a huge budget surplus and to have a rainy day fund so that we can handle those kind of bumps as they come along. Beyond that, I think that our tax system doesn't serve us well. Because whenever we have a recession, then we have these huge drops in revenues because we're relying just on the super rich from Silicon Valley. And I think this is no way of really running a budget. I think we have to kind of even it out and find a way, like some other states do, where the spikes and the valleys are kind of more like rolling hills. Mm. And I think that that kind of a time, we worked on it, but we couldn't get it done. So there's a lot of things that I was able to accomplish as governor, but there were some things that I was not able to accomplish. And that's why our governor always says, oh, if I just would have this extra 4 years. It's not the extra 4 years. It's just that, you know, there's certain things you just can't get done.
Yeah, Jerry Brown had 16.
Yeah, exactly.
One quick news of the week question, and then we'll have some fun. A big issue a lot of people are really concerned right now is crime. What do you make of the images that we're seeing on TV of these smash and grabs of what's happening? Are you concerned about that? What do you think should be done?
Another complex issue, isn't
yeah.
it? I think the key thing is to really make the penalties really tough and to be tough on crime. I think that, and Jerry Brown, I think, talking about the governor, he always was very tough on crime, even though he was a Democrat. Normally Democrats are not known for that, but he was really good on that. I was really good on that, I thought, and I think that you have to really let the people know that they're gonna go to jail. There is no kind of saving you. And today, the way things are with our district attorney and with the things the way they are, with no bail and all this kind of stuff, it makes it very difficult to send that signal out there that you're gonna get punished when you commit a crime, when people literally being let out the next day or the same day. They get arrested and then they go out. And I feel sorry for the police that they have to deal with some of these people 5-6 times in a row. Mm-hmm. So this is uncalled for. I think we can do better. But to answer your question about California, California is the best state in the union. It has the greatest revenues in the union. It has the most successful in business. We have proven that you can protect the environment and the economy at the same time. I think that we are number one. We're the fifth largest economy in the world. So California is great, even though we have our problems that right. need to be solved, but it is the greatest state in the country.
And we got Arnold Schwarzenegger living here, so that's pretty cool too.
thank you.
What is, let's have some fun. Approaching Christmas, what's Christmas like in the Schwarzenegger home? Any special traditions, anything?
Well, the tradition is that we spend it always as a family together. Maria and my kids come together. We celebrate, we do gift exchanges and stuff like that. It's a really wonderful time. And, you know, it's kind of a combination of the way Maria grew up, the way she celebrated Christmas and the way I celebrated Christmas in Austria. So we always combined us, and for the last 30 years, this is since we had kids, we have been doing it that way. And so we are having a great time. And it's kind of also a time of not just celebrating our own victories and exchanging gifts, but also remembering that there are a lot of people out there that cannot afford to have a great Christmas like we have.
You brought your son Patrick along today. How are your kids doing?
My kids are terrific, you know, and I think that with all the victories that I've declared in my life, in all the various different things I was successful in, I think this is probably the biggest victory, that Maria and I were able to go and to create kids that are really fantastic kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that with no problems, no drugs, no alcohol, no one is lazy or anything like that. They all want to work and they all have visions, big visions and stuff like that. They all want to give back to the community and all this. So it's really fantastic. I mean, I'm so proud of my kids.
You know, when Patrick put the blonde hair on social media, he said his mom's going to kill him. What do you think of the blonde?
You know, to me, I think it's funny. You know, when Patrick runs around with bleached hair, it doesn't matter what hair color he has.
Yeah.
The important thing is to me what is in here,
right,
and what is in here. And, you know, Patrick will always be a business genius, and he always will work his way up in acting and become a superstar and all of those kind of things. So I'm very proud of him. And this is a great thing about all my kids. It doesn't matter what their hair color is or what their hair style is or what clothes they wear or anything like that. To me, it's just the person that really counts.
Do Whiskey and Lulu get Christmas presents?
Whisk and Lulu, by the way, did not get their hair bleached. So they get Christmas gifts, but they get gifts every day. You know, they come in every day to my kitchen, and they give them oatmeal cookies and stuff like that, and they are very, very happy. And the day they even had a fight in the kitchen over the oatmeal cookies because I ran out of oatmeal cookies, so one wanted to take it away from the other, and then the dogs jumped in. They wanted to take it away from. So, you know, it's just one of those things, but they have been the greatest thing since the corona, since I'm spending more time at home,
right,
or most of the time at home. Having those animals is just wonderful, you know, and having them roam around in the house and feel like it's like their house too. Oh. And it's just really,
they've
it's really
made
funny.
The pandemic better for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, the last time we talked, you weren't a grandpa yet. Now you're a grandpa and about to become a grandpa a second time, right? Catherine about to have her second baby. What's Grandpa Schwarzenegger like?
I'm very happy about being a grandfather, even though it sounds really weird. As a matter of fact, I have signed things for, you know, when it says send a card or to make a card, a birthday card or something like this, for Lila, for Catherine's daughter. I sometimes, by mistake, write Uncle Arnold. And she says, you're not her uncle? Oh yeah, grandpa, okay. Opa, in German it's Opa. Yeah. So then I write, okay, I love Opa, Arnold, and also, because it's so odd to feel, because in my mind I'm like in the middle of my age, right? And so to feel that, to know that you're a grandfather, and now she is expecting a second child, it's just wonderful. You know, I went on bicycle rides with Lila. It's just so much fun to do the things now again that I did 30 years ago with Catherine. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing basically over again. And she does the same, and she's a fantastic mother. And of course, Chris is a really great dad.
Do you spoil her more than you did your kids?
You always do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not my responsibility if there's any kind of a negative effect, right? It's her responsibility. Yeah, of course, we give her everything, we let her do everything, and all that. That's normal.
And do you have a New Year's resolution, just to wrap things up?
I just think that I want to go and do more films, do more TV work, do more work with my Schwarzenegger Institute, and really address heavily the environmental issues, you know, to reduce the greenhouse gases and to really get rid of fossil fuels, get rid of pollution and all that stuff, and to really fight for those kind of things, continue fighting with for the after school programs and all this. So there's when you talk about New Year's resolutions, I write down not just three things. Yeah. I write down two pages of things that I'm planning to do every year. So I'm very ambitious, and age hasn't slowed me down. And so there's a lot of things that we can do. And the key thing is to always know that when we work together, we can get anything done.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I hope one of those things has come back on The Issue Is, because you're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you.
We love having you. If you ever need a workout buddy, I'm here for you.
Okay, good.
And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and our thanks to you for listening to this podcast. The last 3 weeks have really been something, huh? To go from Gavin Newsom to Jerry Brown to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know where we go next. Next week on the TV version of The Issue Is, we're going to be doing a best of show where we're going to be looking at the biggest winners and losers of 2021 with a great panel, John Myers, Dan Schnur, and also Laurel Rosenhall. You know, that'll be it. And then who knows what's going to be next for 2022. Hope you have a very happy holidays. I'm Alex Michelson. We'll see you next time.